Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Richard Weikart, W-E-I-K-A-R-T, a professor of history and even head of the history department at one of the California State Universities. But he's written a new book. It's called The Death of Humanity and the Case for Life. Dr. Weikart, so great to have you back on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, when we first interviewed you, it was on the subject of your book, which is incredibly philosophical and academic and very well researched, From Darwin to Hitler. Now you're writing a book about the death of humanity and the case for life. Is there a connection between all your studies about the Nazis and Hitler and this new book?
Yes, there is a connection. The From Darwin to Hitler book, I actually was originally looking at evolutionary ethics, and so I was looking at the way that Darwinism had undermined Judeo-Christian ethics in the late 19th century, and that sort of led me into thinking about issues of the value of human life as I got into that research project. And so I do talk about euthanasia in my book From Darwin to Hitler and how euthanasia was being promoted in the late 19th and early 20th centuries in the pre-Nazi period. This is before Hitler came on the scene and before the Nazi period there. And so as I moved into those things, I began broadening. Well, my new book, The Death of Humanity, broadens the scope and doesn't just look at late 19th century and early 20th century Germany, but looks at the United States, looks at Europe more generally. I start off my book with the French Enlightenment, for example, in talking about how they began to conceive of people as just machines, some materialist philosophers back in the middle of the 18th century. So it really broadens the scope of the kinds of things that I've been doing. Essentially what I do is I look at the secular ideologies that have developed since the Enlightenment period in the 18th century, and I show how they have brought about dehumanizing ideologies, how they've undermined the Judeo-Christian sanctity of life ethic.
Mm-hmm. Basically the whole conflict boils down to this. Are we special creatures made in the image of God, as the Judeo-Christian scriptures reveal, or are we just the product of time and chance and circumstances?
Exactly. And I use the term in my preface, cosmic accident, because that's what many secularists think we are. We're just a cosmic accident. In fact, if you look at the Darwinian theory, actually they're claiming that we're the product of millions upon millions of accidents. So it's just we're here by chance. Many secular philosophers would say there's no purpose, there's no meaning to the universe. In fact, I just did a debate with Peter Singer and Sue Blackmore, atheists,
wow,
on a radio program called Unbelievable. Justin Brierley, I don't know if you're familiar with Justin Brierley's Unbelievable. It's at a premier Christian radio out of London. And I just did a debate with them and we got into this very issue about, is there, for an atheist, can there be such a thing as a meaning or purpose to individual life if there is no overarching meaning and purpose in life? And a lot of atheists want to say, well, there's no meaning and purpose in life in the broader sense, but we can give our own lives meaning and purpose and different things like that. And so I tried to show that really is an incoherent kind of idea, that there's any kind of purpose and meaning to life in the individual level, or that there's any kind of moral, that we can have any kind of moral compass,
mm-hmm,
if you don't believe there's any purpose or meaning to the universe. So I tackle these issues in my book, and looking at the way that secular philosophies undermine the ideas of there being any purpose to the universe, any meaning, any morality. They've stripped us of human rights. And so everything's up for grabs, essentially. We get to decide what our own morality is. We get to decide whether people have rights or not. And so that's why some bioethicists can divide the human species and claim that some people are non-persons and other people are persons, and only the persons, of course, are valuable and to be saved by them. So they draw the lines different ways than, say, the Nazis did. So, I mean, they're not really Nazis, but they're committing one of the same problems that we see with the Nazis and with the communists, for that matter. The communists defined people and the persons and non-persons in a different kind of way. They did it by economic status, and the Nazis did it by racial status. But still, the idea is that humans are not created equal, according to these people.
Comment a little bit about the Holocaust itself in terms of the death of humanity. Some people want to blame Christianity for the Holocaust. I think that's absolutely, totally incorrect on every front. What are your comments?
Well, yeah, and in fact, I have a new book coming out this fall called Hitler's Religion, where I take this on very directly and everything. But in my book, Death of Humanity, that I do talk about the Nazi mentality and philosophy. And what I point out is that the Nazis believed that humans were basically biologically programmed. And I put it in a chapter. I discussed the Nazis in a chapter that's called My Genes Made Me Do It, looking at biological determinism. Because one of the things that the Nazis did is they defined humans just as your biology. So it becomes really a secular way of looking at humanity. Whereas Christianity has, of course, viewed humans as being made in the image of God, which gives us equal status. Now, to be sure, atheists are right when they point out that various forms of Christianity have not lived up to that ideal. But what I find interesting when you confront atheists' own worldview, and I try to do this in my book and sort of tease out some of these contradictions in their worldview, they, on the one hand, are telling us, many atheists, that Christianity is evil and immoral because we sanction killing of people, and then they trot out the Inquisition and the Crusades and all these other kinds of, you know, atrocities and men priests blessing weapons and all these other kinds of things. But then on the other hand, they will say that there is no such thing as objective morality. And so, you know, they're sort of, it's incoherent. They're claiming that Christianity is immoral, but there is no morality. And so I what I try to show in my book, and one of the things I try to show among others, is that many of these atheists and agnostics and secular thinkers, many of them know that human life has value, even though in their philosophy they don't want to admit it. And let me give you just one really good example that I bring out in my book that I didn't really know about that much until I began investigating this book. I mean, I knew about Bertrand Russell already because he's a famous philosopher, yeah. So I knew something about his atheistic philosophy and such. I knew that he believed that the universe had no purpose and meaning, and he says this very forthrightly. Yeah. And one of his famous passages, he makes this comment about how humans and all of our hopes and loves and dreams are just an accidental collocation of atoms.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually thinking of that quote earlier, and he says, and we have to realize that basically all life is meaningless, and so building on that firm foundation of unyielding despair, then we kind of create our own meaning for life. But by the way, at the end of the day, it's all meaningless anyway.
Yeah, but then what's interesting is that Bertrand Russell couldn't live that way. I mean, Bertrand Russell was so passionately involved in the nuclear disarmament program that he went to jail for protesting against nuclear arms. Now, why does Bertrand Russell care about nuclear arms? Because he understands that human life has value and we shouldn't be blowing each other up. You know, so there's a sense in which Bertrand Russell knows that there's value. And also, this one really blew me away when I discovered it. Bertrand Russell wrote some letters where he actually said that his quest for the transcendent, and he even calls it God, is what gave his life meaning, even though he says it's loving a ghost because he doesn't believe God actually exists. So we have this interesting state where Bertrand Russell knows that there is this God, but he doesn't want to admit it. Intellectually, he just can't come to grips with that.
Mm. I did think that one quote was so honest, where he's saying, you know, it's all meaningless. And but, you know, isn't that interesting how in the Bible itself, here you have in Ecclesiastes, you know, vanity of vanities, all life is vanity, right. Kind of a pre-Christian understanding of this world.
Yeah, and if their worldview is correct, then yeah, that would be the final note. But of course, Ecclesiastes goes on to tell us life does have meaning and purpose. You know that that we are to submit to our Creator in our youth. It says at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes ends on the note of yes, there really is a God, and yes, we really should be submitted to Him. But yeah, if you don't believe in there's a God, then all these things are really meaningless and purposeless. And one of the things I do in my book is I try to show how all of these issues impinge on the culture of death that we see around us today and how this is fed into the ideologies that bring about easy acceptance of abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and these kinds of things which are running rampant now in our society. I mean, my state of California here just this past year passed an assisted suicide bill, for example. And it's going to go into effect on June the 9th. And so we now have a situation where the state of California is allowing physicians to help people die rather than to try to help them live.
We're talking right now with history professor Richard Weikart, W-E-I-K-A-R-T. You are a professor at a California state institution. Do you ever get pushback? I mean, for being a conservative, for being a Christian, a believer, here your new book is The Death of Humanity and the Case for Life. You know, you're politically incorrect, quite frankly.
Yeah, and I do get pushback here and there. I haven't really experienced anything particularly nasty, thankfully. God's spared me that. My colleagues in my department are actually pretty collegial, even though they don't agree with me ideologically for the most part. I'm very hopeful, in fact, that my book may reach out to some of these secular colleagues and
good.
People at my university. I mean, yes, it may get some pushback, but, you know, if you're going to say anything important, it's going to, you know.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. All right, so the book itself, The Death of Humanity, was there a particular incident that spurred this on? I mean, since you have written so much material related to Hitler and the Nazis, this is a little bit off the path, but not really. Not really. I'm just curious about the book itself, its genesis.
Well, since I've been in graduate school studying modern European intellectual history, I've been interested in the history of bioethics, the history of ethics, and I'm very strongly supportive of the pro-life movement, and I'm very concerned about what I see as abortion and the millions of babies that are being killed, which I see the parallels between that and the Nazis killing in the Holocaust. I realize they're not the same thing. There's different reasons and motivations and different involvements of government. There's all sorts of differences in those two things, but the basic attitude of some human lives are not valuable. Mm-hmm. You know, that's sort of a basic fundamental truth that I think we've forfeited. And, you know, it's written into the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we're giving up on that idea in our society. Yeah. In a large way. Both the equality issue, I mean, you look at like Peter Singer's philosophy, and he doesn't believe that all humans are equal. You know, he believes that some humans, you have to have certain capacities, and there's a lot of and Singer's not alone, there are a lot of bioethicists that are saying these kinds of things today, and I highlight that, especially in the chapter that I have on bioethics they're giving up on the idea of human equality, and they're giving up on the idea that humans have a basic right to life. So they believe that these rights are, that human rights are just created by us, and that we can create them however we want to, essentially. So these issues have been sort of percolating in my mind for a long time. And I teach a course in modern European intellectual history, and so what I did is, in my book, Death of Humanity, I basically took those ideologies that I teach about in this class on European intellectual history, and I brought them to bear on that particular question of the value of human life.
You know, it's been almost a year since the Planned Parenthood expose videos came out. Initially, people were shocked. Now what's happening is the left is pulling out all the stops to prosecute and persecute the one who brought us those expose showing that Planned Parenthood allegedly is trafficking in baby body parts and making sure that the abortions are done in such a way as to preserve those parts. And, oh, by the way, if a girl asks, you know, is this a baby? She's being told, no, it's just a clump of tissue. And by the way, be careful because the liver is worth a lot of money. And, oh, those brains can go for a lot, you know, and it's unbelievable. And yet we're so jaded that people aren't shocked by this anymore.
Yeah, it did shock a lot of people back, you're right, when it first came out and everything, but like many things, that kind of wears off, and unfortunately, the progressive opposition has now, as you're suggesting, has now tried to push back, and that's, I suppose, to be expected. You know, interestingly, a Harvard University law professor just recently was arguing that the culture war is over, and so the conservatives just need to, we just need to, essentially he was calling for just out-and-out political suppression of the conservatives, which would be a clear violation of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, you know, basically just calling on, let's forget about the Constitution, and let's just suppress these people, and he basically said, you know, get over it. You know, you guys lost the culture wars, get over it. That's what he said in his blog.
Yeah, we're basically out of time, but I'd like to have you back on soon to discuss this more. This is fantastic. Richard Weikart, Weikart, The Death of Humanity and the Case for Life. Thanks so much for joining us. God bless you, sir.
Yes. Thank you
now. Bye-bye.